Money Psychology. Money Psychology.
Every time you reach for your wallet or check your balance, it's not just numbers. You're replaying lessons, fears, and rules you picked up before you even knew what money was. I keep seeing that with clients, and honestly, with myself. I'm Elliot Graves, and this is Money Psychology. So, tell me straight. How many of your money moves feel fully yours? Fewer than I used to think. We tell ourselves our accounts reflect pure choice and discipline. But it feels more like a mosaic. Tiny tiles set by family, friends, the block we grew up on. The whole web around us. That's where I want us to go today. The mosaic part. How the group you're in quietly scripts what responsible or smart looks like with money. Same. I grew up where support wasn't optional. It was how we made it through. Informal lending circles, shared tools, passing casseroles, and cash. Money lived out in the open, more communal than private. That still shapes what security means to me. I had the mirror image. Rugged individualism. Keep your balance to yourself. Success equals handling it alone. It took a long time to unlearn the isolation and see that collective well-being isn't code for dependency. It's how people stay afloat. So are we financial islands or part of a bigger ecosystem? I keep thinking about those unwritten rules, approval, disapproval, little cues about what's okay. It's a kind of social currency. Capital that isn't dollars. Social capital, yeah. Trust, shared norms, networks you can rely on. It doesn't sit in one person's account. It emerges from relationships. Exactly. The value in we, not just me, and it comes in flavors. My neighborhood ran on what I'd call consummatory capital. Say that term again? I was still jotting down the last bit and missed it. Consummatory. Meaning you help because that's who we are. No ledger, no tit for tat. You bring a dish to the potluck, watch someone's kids, float $50 till Friday because you know they'd do it for you. It meets that deep need to belong. Right. And that builds a serious safety net. But it also depends on trust and what researchers call value interjection. Ugh, I almost said interjection. People show up on time, repay what they can, keep promises. When folks follow through, the whole place settles. You sleep easier, not just because you've got a lock, but because the people around you feel like a second lock. Then there's the other flavor, instrumental capital. I saw more of that, even in collective moments, as in... Think of a scholarship earmarked for kids from your old school. The donor doesn't want repayment from that one student. They're earning honor, status inside the group. It's still pro-social, just powered by reputation more than pure solidarity. So one maintains the fabric from the inside out, the other signals your place in it. Different motives, same net effect, more glue. Or a louder membership badge. I'm in, and I contribute. Both build capital, but psychologically, one leans on obligation and kinfeel. The other, on esteem and standing. Take a school community. Parents bake, chaperone trips. Is that the solidarity version? The research on this still stuns me. Putnam showed how a child's development is shaped by the social capital around them. Not just a great teacher, but being in a place that prizes education. He ties denser networks to stronger outcomes. Where community engagement is higher, teachers report fewer behavior issues. Parental involvement is a huge conduit for that. Kids see that learning matters to everyone, not just to their own household. It echoes something from Coleman about enclaves of adults, first the family, then the ring around it. But what about the families who can't get into that ring? Real barriers keep them out. Cost hits first. Yeah. High childcare costs don't just strain budgets, they choke off social capital. Work a second shift to cover care, and there's no bandwidth for the PTA or the bake sale. And don't get me started on the 16-login volunteer portal. I know it's petty, but it does not help. Locked out of more than events, you miss the whispers, the tips, the talk-to-this-person moments that open doors. That's inequality beyond the numbers. and it compounds. What fascinates me is how groups rebuild networks anyway. Immigrant communities are a masterclass, creating their own circuits. Exactly. Studies on Vietnamese communities and on Chinese American kids in Chinatown show that holding on to shared values and tight bonds wasn't isolation. It was survival. They bootstrapped social capital from scratch. So the group becomes the main scaffold. It supplies the push, the impetus, for academic success. And it runs through language, too. Bilingual students often get more institutional support to move up. The second language isn't a deficit, it's another kind of capital. Which flips the old assimilation story. You don't have to shed identity to thrive. Leverage the capital you already have. Those networks often predict outcomes better than any single line on a budget sheet. Resource keeps ringing in my head. We started with my built-in support and your go-it-alone script, but this reframes it. It's not just vibes, it's an asset. An asset you can grow. We default to invest in stocks, open the high yield. Fine. But another high return move is show up. PTA night. Block cleanup. The neighborhood potluck. That's portfolio work. Just social. When you put it like that, it feels almost radical. Wealth building gets democratized. Maybe you can't add cash this month, but you can carry a neighbor's couch. That's another strand in the safety net. There's a catch, though. The same net can tighten. Expectations pile up, and they might not match your goals. Totally. Keeping up with the Joneses isn't only gadgets. It's every fundraiser, every loan you can't really spare. Like an unspoken fee to stay included. That's the shadow side. Not community good, individualism bad. It's noticing what's shaping you. Which tiles in your mosaic did you pick, and which did the group set for you? Yes, and choosing on purpose. I'm challenging myself and you to look for assets that don't appear on any balance sheet. Invest in people. Those dividends, they outlast money. My takeaway lands closer to boundaries. Appreciate the lift and still draw the line where you need to. Make sure your mosaic reads like your values, fed by the circle, not dictated by it. And the next time a money move surprises you, an impulse buy or a too cautious pass, pause and ask, whose voice just spoke? What childhood scene is replaying? Understanding your money psychology won't magically fix everything, but it's the first step toward acting from today's reality instead of yesterday's ghosts.